Minnesota Reads is a new feature on Northland Morning featuring Minnesota authors talking about their work. This morning, we're thrilled to have Neil Carlin join us. He is the author of Augie's Secrets. Neil, good morning, and thanks for being on the line with us.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Now, much has been written about mobsters in St. Paul back in the 20s and 30s, but your book is called Augie's Secrets, The Minneapolis Mob and the King of the Hennepin Strip. And not only was this a book that you needed to do a little bit of academic research into the way other authors have done, but you had to plumb the depths of your own family's history for this book. Tell us about it.
Yes, well, there was a, every family has the black sheep, you know, the guy you just don't, or woman you just don't talk to. And in our family, it was my great uncle Augie, who owned Augie's Strip Joint in downtown Minneapolis. He started it in 1944 and sold it in 1964, but they've kept the name ever since, which has made the family very proud. And he was sort of on the realm of, he was in the, I don't know if people are familiar, real familiar with Hennepin Avenue in Minneapolis, but it was a real Damon Runyon Broadway type of thing where criminals mixed with hustlers, mixed with newsstand owners, mixed with gamblers. It was just everybody knew each other. And Augie, who was not a gangster, knew all these people. And he had tons of these stories that one of the reasons people told him these stories was because he wouldn't tell them. I mean, he wouldn't tell them to other people sort of along the strip. But he told my father, who got a kick out of him. My father was his great-nephew, as my father got, as everyone got older. And he passed them along to me, and it wasn't enough to make a book, but it shocked me that Minneapolis even had a mob. I'd always thought, like you mentioned, you know, the St. Paul gangsters, John Dillinger and Ma Barker and Alvin Creepy Carpus, you know, the gangsters, the bank robbers from the Midwest who hide out in St. Paul. In fact, am I babbling? I'm kind of babbling.
No, no, not
at
in all.
This morning, you know, it's kind of cold here. But it's Alvin Creepy Carpus, who is named by J. Edgar Hoover as public enemy number one, and he said that if he hadn't seen someone for a while, he figured they were either in prison or in St. Paul. But what was going on was that at the exact same time that St. Paul was becoming, you know, was incredibly corrupt, and any gangster could lay low here for, you know, by paying the police a small fine and staying out of trouble with the law. In Minneapolis, sort of real racketeers, not bank robbers, but guys who were into gambling, who were into liquor, who had gotten started in Prohibition, a homegrown variety of gangster was the was growing up. And it's amazing because it really, Minneapolis was incredibly corrupt, really, from the 20s and Prohibition up through, there were still shenanigans going on through the 60s. But Minneapolis likes to whitewash its history a lot. St. Paul, they have tour buses that'll take you by John Dillinger's old apartment, you know, with a tour, you know, a tour guy telling you what went on. Whereas Minneapolis just likes to tear buildings down and whitewash its history, and I'm just sort of talking off.
So, what is Minneapolis? No, I'm thinking, what does Minneapolis think about your book?
Well, a lot of people, I was shocked at what people were shocked at. One thing that really I was surprised at was how dearly people hold memories of Hubert Humphrey to their heart. He was the so-called boy mayor of Minneapolis. Who cleaned up the town in the early in the mid 40s, and I found out he kicked one gang of gangsters out of town all the way to Las Vegas, where they a huge group of Minneapolitans, as we so pompously like to call ourselves, took over a big swath of Las Vegas. But he had his own bag men too, and I was surprised at how shocked people were that Hubert Humphrey, the great Hubert Humphrey, could be mad, you know, could have been tied in. People were very curious about Sid Hartman, you know, the sports writer here, and how he knew the gangsters from a little boy. So it was more, I thought I was going to get a lot of stuff from the families of the gangsters, you know, the descendants. And it turned out there's turned into this sort of gangster chic, you know what I mean, where it's
it's hip to hip to have relatives that are gangsters.
Yeah, and you know, I'm Jewish, so I can say these things. It was like Jews were suddenly, it had been a terrible, terrible scandal that there had been Jewish gangsters, and now that there were, you know, it was kind of shown that, well, they, you know, in cahoots with Scandinavian politicians, they helped run the city. People were proud that, like, we weren't all just like accountants and dentists and doctors and stuff like that. There were tough Jews once upon a time.
Well, people are accustomed to thinking of Minnesotans as so bland and white bread. And yeah, isn't it nice to know that some of us are secretly scandalous?
Well, that was what was great, too, is it sounded like, you know, there were hitmen and there were, you know, there were shootings and unsolved. But in 1950, there were only 9 homicides in all of Minneapolis. I mean, there are that many homicides in 2 weekends now. So despite all, you know, these characters running around, things were actually much more peaceful. And we do think of ourselves, I think we pride on ourselves on our blandness. And it seems like there was a time back then when people really reveled in being characters. Like now, if you call someone a character, it sounds like an insult. I remember when I used to live in New York, and if you called someone a character in a story or something you were writing, it'd be a compliment. But I wrote a story about the place where I was living when I first moved back here. It was an apartment building, and it was an odd bunch of assortment of people, and I called them characters, and people got mad at me when I meant to insult them. I mean, they thought I was insulting them when I meant to compliment them here. And it seemed like in the old days, people had the courage to stand out, and there were guys like, they had great nicknames. One of my favorite is Willie Ice Pick Alderman, who was the greatest hitman in the country, and he was from Minneapolis. And he got his nickname of Ice Pick because that is the way he'd dispatch his victims instead of shooting them. It would be an ice pick through the ear. But he was a wild kind of character around town, dressed loudly and did, you know, these psychopathic things. But again, everyone had a strange nickname. Everyone had a shtick going on, and it was okay not to melt in and be exactly the way everyone else is, the way sort of the ethos has sort of come down through the decades.
Well, were these people, in air quotes, from here? Because, you know, if you're a Minnesotan, you know, I mean, if you're, quote, from here, you don't do that. You don't stand out. I mean, was there like a Nels Ludafisk Nelson?
You know, in the early days, the early days, when I'm talking about like 1900 to 1920, it was totally the Scandinavian, there was a Scandinavian mob that, and it wasn't like they were outlaws. It was the mayor and the police department. He'd hire ex-convicts as policemen. So yes, there really were, everyone had their chance, and they were, quote, from here, except for the gangsters we talked about before who came to St. Paul just to lay low, you know, John Dillinger and Ma Barker.
Right.
They all were from here, and the Irish had their gangs, the Italians had their gangs in St. Paul. So, you know, no one was immune and no one was innocent.
And everybody, like you say, everybody got their chance. Neil, your book is fascinating, and thank you so much for joining us on the air this morning. It was great to have you.
Appreciate the time. Take care.
You too. Neil Carlin is the author of Augie's Secrets, The Minneapolis Mob and the King of the Hennepin Strip. He joined us this morning for Minnesota Reads. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.